The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 960. This is your host, Danny. You know, it's only going to be me this week for this episode. And Paris is out with family, vacation. Enjoy, brother. All right, so there's a lot of things I'm going to be talking about here. We have fan mail. We haven't done fan mail in a while. We got that. Also, a review of Control, developed by Remedy. We're going to be playing that later on. On this episode, we're also going to take it back to like 11, 10 years ago when we got to meet John DiMaggio and we interview him about Marcus Fenix, Gears of War 2. This is like way back in the days. And the reason why I'm releasing this is I think it's a cool interview. It's very, very funny. I know we spoke about this many times on the podcast where, you know, behind the scenes stories of how we got into the event and the story is talking to John DiMaggio. Hilarious. We're going to play that later on here to celebrate the release of Gears 5. And actually, I have to talk about this. You know, the day that just came out, because depending on the region we were at, Game Pass will unlock the game, the Ultimate Edition, at 9 p.m. So I waited to it officially unlocked for everybody. But I did play matchmaking through like the pass, like, before 24 hours before the game launched, and everything was really, really smooth, good. As soon as the game launched here, especially in the US, the servers were just a disaster. It wasn't working, couldn't load, I couldn't see my friends, I couldn't join other people's games. It was just bad. And then it took a couple hours. It took us maybe like an hour to actually find a game, a matchmaking game. And we played some Escape. I played that with my brother and one of our friends. We played that. We didn't put the difficulty higher. We put it like maybe advanced difficulty. And it was very challenging. So we finished that last night. And the thing that we're going to do now is probably going to play Elite. But it's a lot of fun. The game is so much fun. So if you have the game, let me know. Hit me up. My gamer tag is Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E. That's Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E. Let me know if you're going to be playing, man. I'm down to play some horde mode with our listeners. You know, I think the highest I've gone to so far in this game, horde mode-wise, is wave 20. That's it. That's the most I've gone. So the thing is, playing like with randoms, it's like you don't know if they're going to stay playing with you for the longest or they're going to quit or what. So I'd rather just play with friends, people that we know, people from our community. And I think it's a lot better experience, in my opinion. All right, so we have fan mail, like I said. We haven't done this in a while, but it's cool to, you know, read emails and questions and feedback. So if you're listening, here's how you can send us questions to the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, all right. So we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, episode 960. Wow, that's a lot of episodes. All right.
Fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
So we have this one here. This is from Charles. This is his email. Hi, GTR crew. Chuck here, Gamertag Box Booty. I have two questions. Do you think Halo Infinite should be included with every Scarlet at launch? The reason why he's saying this is very interesting. He says that being in Game Pass, everyone would play it, may not sell as well. If it was packed in Scarlet, Microsoft gets to see that it was sold with being on PC, Xbox One, and Scarlet has potential to be the best-selling Halo at launch. Interesting. And number two, do you think Microsoft will launch a limited Scarlet like they did with Xbox Scorpio? Maybe a Red Scarlet, limited Xbox. All right, Charles, great, great question. Number one, I think that the game is not going to be built like included with the Scarlet system. I think that they're going to keep it the same. Have the game available on Game Pass. And I think Microsoft is going to be pushing that more than ever. If you got to see the latest launch trailer, which also aired on NBC last night, it aired on NBC during football, the football game. At the end of the TV ad, it says, available now on Xbox Game Pass. It wasn't available now in stores, nothing, because that's the focus now of Microsoft. It's not about selling the game in stores now. But I think Xbox Game Pass is their focus 100%. When we went to E3, everywhere at the Microsoft Theater, it was all Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass. And we even had multiple conversations here on the podcast that Microsoft, that's going to be their focus, is the subscription. Remember, now Microsoft is going to be focused on the company being as a service, have it available on that console, on PC, maybe on multiple consoles, mobile, tablets, and so on. So that's how I see it. That's for the first question. The second question, do you think Microsoft will launch a limited Scarlet? Maybe they will. Usually when companies release a console, they have like a special limited launch edition or something like that. I could see that. I could definitely see that. So, but thanks, Charles, for the questions, man. It was a lot of fun to answer, man. All right, here's another one. This is from John. All right, from the UK. Awesome. Hello, Danny in Paris. I'm a long time listener and really love what you guys do. I'm in the UK and really hope you guys get this. I'll try and be quick. So much to say, but you guys did ask for feedback. Firstly, and my main reason is for emailing is Astral Chain on Switch. I'm really intrigued by this game, mainly because it seems like nobody's talking about it. And yet, it looks so good. Perhaps I've missed you guys discussing it, but I don't remember you guys covering it. All right, so John, very quick. We did spoke about it here and there. The thing is, I think I had a Nintendo Direct episode where I spoke about that with either my brother or with Mandy, both of them as a special guest, and I did mention how hype I was about this game. So Nintendo did send me a code for Astral Chain. The game is phenomenal. It's so good. I know it's been selling well, not only in the UK, but it's selling well everywhere worldwide. So I'm going to be talking about it in the future, because you got to understand too, John, is that right now this is like the beginning of holiday season, right? Where all the games is now coming out. It always starts like at the end of August. So in one day, I've received like multiple games for review. And, you know, right now I'm not only that I'm planning to move, you know, I've been really, really busy with a lot of things over here, but I haven't had the time to actually like sit down and play it. So I finished Gears 5. I finished Control. I've been playing a lot of Blair Witch, which is awesome too. And Astral Chain, I played a couple levels, couple bosses, so I have it saved there. So stay tuned. I'm definitely going to be reviewing it in the future, man. So another thing he says is, secondly, do you guys know if there's any word of a sequel to Mario Rabbids? He says it has to be one of his favorite Switch games. And he would love a sequel. So I'm cool with the developers that worked on the game. I haven't heard anything yet about it. There's been rumors that they might be working on it. So I hope it happens because I truly love that game. I think a sequel will be perfect, man. The first game is incredible. If you haven't had a chance, make sure to download the DLC that has Donkey Kong. It's really cool too. So this is his third question. Thirdly, for those of us who are longtime listeners, it would be great to hear how's Pete's doing. Still love the podcast. All right, John. Thanks, man. So Pete's doing good, man. I know he moved. I know another thing too, that the hurricane was almost coming over here to the Florida area, and Pete's good. We were like really freaked out because we're not fans of hurricanes. So, but Pete's doing really good, man. He's working. Family, all that stuff, man. But he's always active on Discord. So if you go to discord.gg/GTR, that discord.gg/GTR, you could join the community. Talk to not only with Pete, but I'm there, Paris. You know, we're not 24/7 active, but we keep it Discord active as much as we can. And also our community members is always there too, man. So, but thanks for the email, John. Really cool. All right, so I have a couple of voicemails here, and I think I'm going to play it on the podcast. Let's play this one first.
Hi, Paris and Danny. It's Devin here. I have a detailed question. I wanted to know what you guys think about how backwards compatibility is going to work with the PS5. So I've got a PlayStation Plus account. I've had it pretty much since launch of the PS4. I've added quite a few titles to this, and there's a lot of stuff I want to keep, and it's one of the reasons I appreciate the PlayStation Plus service. Obviously some of the games haven't been great, but there's been quite a few that have been, and I've bought a few games as well out of my own pocket. So I get the idea that the discs will probably work in the PlayStation 5. That I understand. My question is my online catalog. See, these are the titles that I've downloaded through either PlayStation Plus or I've purchased online. And my concern is, and maybe this is a silly concern, but it's a concern all the same, will this carry over to PlayStation 5? So if I buy PlayStation 5 on launch, log into my account, will I immediately have access to all the titles that I've purchased or have been awarded through my PlayStation Plus service? And has anyone actually answered this question? Because I haven't seen anything on the web to suggest that this detail has been discussed. Love the show. Hope you guys are great. And talk soon. Bye.
All right. First of all, thank you for the voicemail. That's a really great question. You know, I know that Microsoft has been doing a great job when it comes to that. I've been downloading a lot of like digital games during the Xbox 360 days. And, you know, I totally forgot about it. I moved on. Now I'm playing Xbox One. And slowly all those games been popping up through my account. So I think that seeing how it's working really well for Microsoft, which they also could add that to their service, not only have like the most current games, but have games from like the first generation, from the original Xbox 360 and everything. I think it will make sense for PlayStation to do the same thing. Games that you guys have been buying from like PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, have it available for the PlayStation 5 too. Not only for the service, for like PlayStation Now, but also have it as you actually purchased this game, that you bought it digitally from our store, is available for the PlayStation 5 too. I think that makes a lot of great, makes sense. I hope that happens because I have a lot of digital games from PlayStation 4. So if I'm, let's say, for example, Tetris, the Tetris game came out for the PlayStation 4. I'm excited for that. To play it again for PlayStation 5, hey, have it available there, man. You know, so I think that makes sense, man. I hope that happens, man. So great question. And you, the listener, what do you think? Do you think that is it possible for Sony to do that? If not, let us know. Fanmail@gamertagradio.com. All right, next question here.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? You guys are absolutely amazing, I must say. I mean, the work ethic that you guys have is absolutely incredible. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just had a quick question for you guys about Microsoft. The reason why I ask you guys about Microsoft so much is because I absolutely love the brand. It is my preferred console. But what I wanted to know is, do you guys think that Microsoft, in the long run, that they're going to go third party? And the reason why I ask this question is because in recent interviews between Phil Spencer and Matt Booty, they have said several times in those interviews that their games would be going third party, or they are third party. Phil Spencer even went far enough to say that they're one of Sony's biggest publishers. So when a company starts talking like that to me, and seeing the direction that Microsoft has been going in lately, not wanting exclusive, not wanting to keep games off of other platforms, that makes me wonder, is this a long play for them to go third party? So that's my question to you guys. As always, you guys are absolutely incredible at what you guys do. I've been long-winded as usual. I apologize. So with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, Keon, shout out to you, man. Thank you so much for the voicemail. And also, thank you so much for sending me a message, man, because during the hurricane that was going to come over here to Miami, he hit me up. He wanted to know what's going on and everything, if everybody's safe. And thank you so much, man. It means a lot to me, man. All right, so Keon, here's the thing. This is not the first time Microsoft been doing this or been saying this during interviews. Like, it's been going on for a very long time. Actually, if you go back, they've done games for the DS back then. It been working for them now with you know, with Minecraft and all these other games that have been recently coming out now for the Switch. It's been working. So I don't see anything wrong with that. And if you go listen to the interview that Paris recorded during Gamescom with Aaron Greenberg, Aaron Greenberg mentioned that, look, if a company comes up to us for us to make a game for a console, let's say for a Nintendo Switch, it has to make sense. It has to make sense for them to port that game to the system business-wise. If not, save that as an exclusive for their service, for their consoles, and so on. So I wouldn't be freaking out if they do this. They plan to focus on having some third-party titles on like different systems. Like, I think it'll be okay, man. It's not going to be the end of the world. They're going to be still focused on Xbox Game Pass, on Xbox Scarlet, Xbox One, and so on. Also, xCloud, I think it makes sense. If you actually think about it, having Banjo-Kazooie in Smash, which the characters already came out now a couple days ago, is available now for the game. It makes sense because this would be a great opportunity for a company like Microsoft. They could promote their products, their games, their franchises through different consoles. So having that game, the Switch, one of the developers from the creator of actually Smash Brothers for the Switch, they had like a how to play with Banjo-Kazooie. I think it was right after Nintendo Direct, and they actually gave props to Microsoft and thanked them for allowing them to have that character in Smash. And also say this, you could play the original Banjo-Kazooie game now on Xbox One. He said it like that on a Nintendo Direct video. Have you ever seen that? That's what I'm trying to say, man. It's all about promotions. If you actually think about it too, Nintendo is doing the same exact thing. When they have games for mobile devices, let's say Mario, right now Mario Kart, Dr. Mario, when they have games like that available on mobile devices, which everybody, you know, has an Android or an iOS device or even a tablet for those two, they see that, maybe that will influence them to learn more about that character or about that franchise, and they'll buy the most recent console, which is the Nintendo Switch. It makes sense why companies are starting doing this. I think you could do more. That's what I'm trying to say. You could do more by having it in different platforms. You know what I'm saying? So look at Minecraft. Minecraft is one of the biggest games of this generation. And that game came out as an exclusive for PC. Ever since the game started being available at the consoles and Microsoft acquired that company, business-wise, it's been helping Microsoft a lot. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Keon. Don't freak out. I think this is it's a good move for them. All right, next question. Here goes.
Hello, this is Brad Davis, a.k.a. BGamer90.
All right, Brad. First of all, thank you so much for sending this voicemail. This is a very long voicemail, so I have to edit it down to cut it down to like a minute or so because I can't play the whole voicemail. So I'm going to play a little bit here and I'll stop it. Here goes.
I wanted to call in again since I really enjoyed the discussion that you guys had about how PS5 launch titles would be and how that will work due to cross-generation being different now when you consider cross-play as well as backwards compatibility. Personally, I think that there will be a few exclusives for the PS5 at launch, but those true exclusive games, I don't think they will be major AAA titles. I think they'll be, you know, kind of like smaller titles, kind of like Knack, games in which, you know, they could do well without needing a really huge console user base to, you know, to make the company say, okay, you know, this game did enough for us to push out a sequel. I think major games like Horizon, a sequel to Horizon, or another, you know, something else, I think those games will be on PS4 and PS5 due to the PS5 being backwards compatible and the PS5 playing those games in a higher resolution or a higher frame rate. And as you said, Paris, I just don't see why you would cut out a PS4 user base. You know, that's 100 million users plus. And for exclusive to come out for the PS5 only, that would mean that, you know, you're missing out on all those users just for the sake of, you know, exclusivity. And that game will have to be supported by people that will have to pay $500 or somewhere around there in order to play that game.
All right. So I stop it right there because it's a pretty long voicemail. But thank you for the question and voicemail and all that. So look, man, I think that the game is going to be available on PlayStation 5. I think Sony is going to move on from PlayStation 4 as soon as they announce the PlayStation 5 console. As soon as they announce that, that's it. They're moving on. And just have the system there. Same thing what Nintendo is doing now with Nintendo Switch. Nintendo doesn't even mention the 3DS anymore. They moved on, slowly moved on. But business-wise, still people, there's people still buying that console. Still. So I don't see them shutting down right away, maybe in the future. But yeah, there is 100 million users now that have the PlayStation 4. Same thing with the PlayStation 2, man. There's so many consoles out there too, man, from back in the days, you know. But Sony wanted to move on. I think their focus is going to be different than Microsoft. I think that, yeah, you could play your old games on your PlayStation 5. But if you really want to get this PlayStation 5 and get all the cool features, but if you want all that, you have to buy the PlayStation 5. And that's how they're going to make the most money. It's for you buying that console. I see Sony releasing this only on PlayStation 5. I think it just doesn't make sense for them to release Horizon, the Horizon 2, both on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. To me, it doesn't make sense for them to do that. I think if they really want to push this console, PlayStation 5, which I know the fans are going to go and buy on day one, or maybe they'll wait until the holidays or something. I think that's going to happen. Releasing it on both. Maybe Paris also have a different opinion. I think he said they're going to be available for both, maybe. I'm not sure. But If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm going to stick with Sony still releasing on PlayStation 5, man. That's what I think. So thank you so much for the voicemail. So now I'm going to play this quick audio of us. We recorded this over 10 years ago. I think it was like 11 years ago. During E3, we met the whole voice cast of Gears, the Gears franchise. It was like Gears 2. So we met up with John DiMaggio and we're like, hey, let's do a quick interview. And we sat down. Actually, no, we were standing. We recorded his interview with him. And he had a lot of drinks. So he was very excited and everything. So we're going to play the audio. And once we come back, I'm going to play a review of Control. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Go, hey, that's Bender.
That's all right. I get that all the time.
Yeah, it's Bender.
It's
the greatest gig in the world.
Hey, this is Paris with Godfrey, Gamertag Radio.
Hello.
And we are here with John DiMaggio, the voice of Marcus Fenix for Gears of War 2.
All right.
And also the voice of Bender, the robot from Futurama. He just can't seem to get over that.
Oh, boy. I didn't know a robot could fart.
Yeah.
How was the experience with working on Gears of War 2?
Gears of War 2 was a lot of fun. Both games were a lot of fun. A great bunch of people to work with, great bunch of actors to work with, and just a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of the game, so I'm excited about the trilogy, you know? I mean, because there's going to be another one. Like, I don't know if you know, but there's going to be another one.
Obvious.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't just
that's
have...
That's what John two. Says. We'll see. Yeah. The Xbox side says it's
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. That was Josh, the writer of the game, by the way, so it'll be all right. But
well, thanks, Josh.
So, yeah. But it's a lot of fun to work in a game, and I'm a big fan of the game, so, like I was saying before, like, I play the game sometimes. I talk to the game myself. I'm like, Dom, come on! You know, it's ridiculous, you know, I'm sitting on my couch, like, in my underwear, going, hell. You know, it's like, it might not be pretty
picture
pretty
good?
Now.
Are you pretty good, though, in the game? You pretty good?
You can kill it on insane, baby. Kill it on insane.
Oh, you're good.
I couldn't.
John is the most hardcore game player of all the actors.
You know what?
Right now, go on record to say that.
True.
It is.
Actually
no
true.
One plays a game like John.
That's true.
That's true.
But I couldn't finish the very, very last board when you try to fight the boss on the last train
fucking
car.
Rom.
Yeah,
Rom. Apparently the secret from Rod is a torque boom over cover. Torque boom, duck down, and kill him.
Yeah, I tried that, man. I tried that.
Rod,
that didn't work. Come on, man. I'm the fucking voice of the game, for Christ's sake. hook a brother up with a cheat code or something. Man, come on now. No, but it's really... It's just a lot of fun, and it's just a fun medium to work in. You know, it's a fun part of the genre. You know, I'm just excited to be a part of such a big deal. You know, it's funny because you don't realize it until somebody starts telling you, like, oh yeah, this is going to be, this is coming out then when there's no movies really. This is going to be bigger than the movies coming out. Like, you're like, oh, shit, it really is. You know. But it's just a lot of fun, and it's just been a good experience. And these are a great bunch of people. Epic Games, man, they're just so solid. Really, really nice people, and really, you know, they're really true to their product, man. They back it up. So,
well, let me ask you this: on Gears 2, all the voice actors, you guys were all in the same room this time when you're doing your lines.
For the most part, the stuff that Dom and I recorded, Carlos Ferro, he and I did a lot of the really dramatic stuff together, and we did that this year, and we hadn't really done it last time, and it worked really well, and it helped with the scene, so it was just like it was really cool to do that, and you don't really usually get to do that in video games. Usually you're just in by yourself. And there were times I was in by myself, but there were times when it would overlap, where Carlos would stay an extra hour and I would come in, you know, and we would do that stuff.
Right.
And so it works. And it's funny because my experience in animation has been that when you record the actors in a group, scene by scene, and record it so that the animators can animate to their voices, it works better. It has a lot better...
30 second warning.
One last question, because again, you know, I go all goofy when you're bendering. So, no, but I got a serious question with Futurama. I know you got, what, two more movies coming out. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be anything else beyond that?
You know what?
We'll see is the best answer.
We'll see. I think that it's a... I think it's a reason to print money.
Yeah.
And I'm stealing those words from Patrick Verone, head of the Writers Guild, one of our writers, okay? It's a reason to print money. License to print money. And I think that we're on Comedy Central now, and Doug Herzog is the president of Comedy Central. He was the guy who was at Fox when we were originally put on Fox. So we'll see what happens. I think that it'll happen. I think we'll do some more movies. I mean, because that's the way. That's just the way it is now.
And Bender's being taken away.
And I'm being taken away.
The man is taking Bender. The man is taking Bender.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Oh, no doubt, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Where are we going now? What's happening?
Come on over here.
Okay. I got it.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
If you're still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019, have you asked yourself what you are paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. And I've been using now Mint Mobile now for a month. Actually, I have the service on my phone. And you know me, I'm always traveling, going to different cities every single time. And I have the phone with me. The most important thing to me is data, because I listen to music. I'm always on Twitter, social media, communicating with our GTR community. And not only that, text. I'm always texting Paris and the crew or making phone calls. My family sees everything is okay. And so far, the experience has been great. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month. Yes, $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, you stop paying for unlimited data you never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or like the one that I have, 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get the new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/GTR. That's mintmobile.com/GTR. Again, cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Now, another game that I finished over the weekend is Control, developed by Remedy.
The oldest house is a shifting place. There are rules and rituals. You can keep traveling deeper.
As a GTR listener, guys, you know that I've been a huge fan of Remedy. We could go way back to Max Payne. I talked about Alan Wake, one of my favorite games from the last generation. Quantum Break, a good game. And now their newest game, Control, which is available right now for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
August 4th, 1964. Bureau agents discover the oldest house, investigating an altered world event case in the New York City subway tunnels. It's a place of power, From the outside, it looks like an ordinary building, a brutalist skyscraper. But inside, it breaks the laws of our reality. Unstable, mad, shifting. There are rooms in the building where other dimensions leak in. We call these rooms thresholds. There is a connection between our minds and the unknown, often hostile forces intruding on our world. These forces gravitate toward everyday objects, a gun, a television, a house with a reputation of being haunted. So somehow, we affect these events. We're holding the key, but we don't have a clue on how to use it.
There's a threat that invaded a secretive agency in New York, and you become the new director, struggling to regain control. This game will keep you engaged after the main story has been completed. I finished it over the weekend, and I went back because they have a lot of side quests. I couldn't finish it during the first playthrough. All right, throughout the game, you encounter other members of the FBC. I know you guys are asking, what is the FBC? It's the Federal Bureau of Control, and who will ask for the director's assistance. Helping them through their campaign will take you through the oldest house, which is the Bureau's headquarters, where you learn more about the world and find new abilities and discover new areas in the game. The progression of this game reminds me of a Metroidvania-inspired experience. Outside of the story missions, you will gain access to like additional areas of the oldest house through new abilities. You will gain abilities by completing side missions, which I've been doing a lot, and locating and binding objects of a power to Jesse. Jesse is your main character of the game that you're going to be controlling her from the beginning. This is the reason why it connects a lot with the previous games, which when you start investigating a lot of stuff, you'll find out more about the character Jesse in the game, of course, because that's like the main story. But you will find other stuff that relates to the previous game. This studio, Remedy, always been doing that since day one. Every time they have a new game, some way, somehow, they have like some Easter eggs that relates to the previous game. So, for example, I played Quantum Break, start playing it. I went to like an area and I noticed there was items and written stuff on the wall all related to Alan Wake. And it's the same thing with this. So Jesse arrives at the oldest house. She enters to the FBC building and she noticed that the place is completely empty. She went to the main office and the director of the bureau committed suicide. So Jesse was seeing, she got to see the director that committed suicide. And there was like a gun on the floor. She discovered that it's an object of power, the service weapon, and is transported to another area where she has to complete a ritual and is selected as the director of the bureau. Doing that, she discovers that the location, the oldest house, has been invaded by a force known as the Hiss, which you're going to see them all over the place. Most of the people that are in the building gets possessed by the Hiss and now is going to be attacking Jesse once you see her. So she's going to get powers, start now listening to conversations from people within the building. And that's when she discovers the secrets of the bureau. And she definitely wants to know the whereabouts of her brother, Dylan. So I'm going to leave it as that. Because I want you to pick up this game and learn more about the story. But let me tell you, Remedy, I give them an A+ when it comes to the story of not only this game, but also the previous game. Gameplay is so, so much fun. This world is really open, so you could go to a lot of places. And sometimes the plot will get you confused when you go to certain areas that you're not ready to go there yet. You probably will find it by mistake, but it will give you little new tidbits here and there. So at the end, you're gonna find out more about the character and why all this is happening, and you will find out a lot about characters like her brother Dylan and a couple other people. So that was the only issue that I have with the game, is that this will truly, truly confuse you if you're not really paying attention to the game. Even if you do pay attention, it could be confusing for a lot of people, man. So just keep on playing it. Hopefully the story will get you into it a lot more. I know it did to me. I truly would put this as contender of best game of the year. We usually don't see these type of games anymore. A lot of companies would just release multiplayer games and concentrate a little bit about the campaign, but strictly multiplayer. This is a single player experience from the beginning to the end. And I think as a listener, you guys are going to truly enjoy this, man. It's an awesome, awesome game. Go right now, pick it up. Doesn't matter which version, PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox. Now, I do have to say one thing that I had an issue about this game, besides that it could get confusing, but sometimes when I'll go to like the dashboard, like checking like my messages, and I go back to the game, for some reason, it freezes up a little bit, and like it freezes up and stutters a lot, and then the game gets fixed. Same thing when you press pause. I don't know, that really bothered me a lot. Maybe they'll have like an update to fix that, but it's not something that's going to truly mess up your gaming experience, but that happened a lot every time I go to the dashboard. So just giving you the heads up on that. So, like I said, must-have game, contender of best game of the year. Love this. Can't wait for the next project, and I hope it's Alan Wake. Go right now and buy this. Control.
Questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 960. We only have 40 episodes left, and then we're going to hit the 1,000th episode. Incredible. Insane. 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 So before I leave, today is 9-9 of 2019, the 20th anniversary of the launch of the Sega Dreamcast. If you get an opportunity, go back to a couple episodes and listen to my exclusive podcast conversation with Peter Moore. He used to be the president for Sega back in the days, and he was the one involved with the launch of the Sega Dreamcast. So we had a great conversation about the console, because every year he always posts something on social media about the experience of launching that system from back in the day. So it was an awesome conversation. It was over 30 minutes. You're not going to find out nowhere else, only here on Gamertag Radio. So go, if you missed it, go check it out and let me know what you think, and share it. Share with your friends, because there's a lot of people that don't know the history about the Sega Dreamcast, man. So GTR listeners in LA, I'm going to be speaking at the Latinx Games Festival on Saturday, September 14th at the Museum of Latin American Art. That's, again, September 14th at the Museum of Latin American Art. For more information, if you'd like to attend, go to LatinxGamesFestival.com. That's LatinxGamesFestival.com. I'm going to be there alongside with a lot of other people from the gaming industry. I know Respawn is going to be there, Xbox, 343, and so on. So make sure to go there, and let's do a little meetup, man. If you plan to attend, hit me up, Godfrey, on Twitter. That's Godfree. Or email me, Danny@gamertagradio.com. All right, so thank you for listening to episode 960, and we have more stuff coming up in the future. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Take care, y'all. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, R-I-T-E-R-U-G.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.